Before we get into today's preview show for the Chelsea Echo, I just want to encourage you guys, if you can, to do us a massive favour if you're enjoying the show and give us a positive rate and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you are listening to the show. It really does help us out and get the show to more Chelsea fans to build the community. And the best thing about it is it makes Louis happy, it makes me happy, but it also makes the almighty Diego happy as well. And listen, you always want to make Diego happy.
God, what a fucking amateur. He's not hit record yet. Joke. Hello and welcome back to the Chelsea Echo, and welcome to a show we're doing because we actually forgot to talk about it in the Manchester United preview, which is very amateurish of us. A bit like Dan forgetting to hit record for the first 10 seconds, which is shocking, personally, in my opinion. But, you know, it is what it is. That's by the by. We're here to talk about a certain Argentinian by the name of Enzo Fernandez, who is apparently being eyed up by Real Madrid in either a swap deal or £84 million coming into Chelsea's bank account, which I wouldn't mind some of, to be fair. I mean, it'd be quite nice. Money's a bit tight at the moment, guys, because he lives in that. But as you know, guys, if you are new around here, please make sure that you give us a 5-star review before we get into the pod, because, you know, you like it anyway. And if you're not new around here and you haven't given us a 5-star review, get your act together, all right? It's pretty standard. 2 seconds of your day. Give us a review. Be nice. We love you. You love us. And that's how it works. It's great. But Dan, Enzo Fernandez, a pretty dour performance against Newcastle in midweek. A pretty dour season so far. Probably not at the best 2024 either. Having a hernia. The massive incident over the summer with the Argentina squad. Being dropped to the Chelsea B team. And also splitting up with your partner. Probably not a year that Enzo Fernandez wants to remember. But January, it could pick up straight away because Real Madrid are interested. Do you take the money and do you run? Yes or no?
At this point, definitely yes.
Anything else you want to add to
that's,
that?
That's the end of the podcast, guys.
So there that's we go. It. Dan's like, it's just like I've kind of sat there quietly just looking at Dan a bit like, is he going to say anything else? Because it's very unlike Dan just to say three words and then leave something. It's yeah. Do you feel slightly sorry for him? Because he's had a massive price tag attached to him of £105 million, was brought in to be the main man, actually started really, really well. And then last season and this season, I think the only way you can describe his form is falling off a cliff in a nuclear submarine.
That would actually be, I think, more exciting to watch, to be honest. No, I think the thing with Enzo Fernandez is I've been talking about this actually for a while, and I think it was only going to become more evident, and it now has become kind of a general conversation I've seen. I'm surprised it's taken a little bit longer, but I noticed very early on in the season that his performances just weren't that good. And I do think there's a bit of like worship around Enzo that I find a little bit weird, where it's like people have got it in their heads, probably because of the price tag that you just referenced and kind of because his name is Enzo Fernandez and the branding around him, that he's so good. So we're not going to criticize him that harshly. You know, the usual gaslighting of you're not watching the game properly, we're not using him the right way, he needs to be unlocked. You know, the usual standard stuff that, you know, I think falls pretty quickly, especially when you watch a new midfield in recent weeks in Lavia and Caicedo, who look so much more balanced and I think offer everything that Enzo doesn't. And then when Enzo is not, I think the problem with Enzo Fernandez is when he's not even passing the ball that well, you kind of lose any reason to have him in the team, because I think his flaws around defence, you know, moving, you know, across the pitch quite quickly and being exposed and isolated, you know, these all feel like Jorginho-esque type things. And I think part of the reason when we signed Enzo Fernandez and we looked to sort of rebrand and reshape our midfield was to move away from that. And unfortunately, I think he has just kind of continued that. The good thing is he ain't the only midfielder we have. So it's not, at the moment, I'm not that concerned, but he wasn't bought to be a a Conference League player, was he? And I think that's the big issue for him at the moment.
So basically, if we're going to summarise this pod, we've just called Enzo Fernandez a £105 million modern Mikel. But then that would be probably doing a disservice to John Obi Mikel.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like Mikel, John Obi Mikel is one of Chelsea's best midfielders. Like, and listen, there's a. I'm not saying he's the best midfielder we've ever had. Of course not. But when you speak to most Chelsea fans about John Obi Mikel, it's gushing praise, right? Because he was a valuable part of a beloved Chelsea team, and his legacy only became greater once he actually left the club. Will Enzo Fernandez have that? I don't think he will. I don't think it's a case of us misjudging him. I don't think it's like we're not seeing these great performances, because Enzo Maresca, I think, has come to the conclusion clearly that Fernandez is not a Premier League player for him. He's not as crucial to him, because he dropped him for Lavia, who had barely played a game, who clearly didn't have more than like an hour in him at Anfield. I think that was a very defining moment, one where I gained a lot of respect for Enzo Maresca, because I made a show during the international break speaking about Enzo Fernandez and saying how I think he's a major problem. I think he's imbalanced in central midfield, which has been an issue for Enzo. This is Maresca. And the way Fernandez has been giving the ball away cheaply, not been progressing it well enough. And, you know, if Fernandez's role, as it has been explained to be, to kind of excuse his limitations, is just kind of a very simplistic kind of recycling of possession. Well, if that's the case, then why do I want a limited player in there when I could just have a better one who can do other things well and I know can do quite a simple passing job? That's not, again, that's not what Enzo Fernandez is supposed to be. He's not supposed to be a gets the ball, recycles it very safely, and doesn't do anything extraordinary with the ball. That's not the way people who are great defenders of Enzo Fernandez talk about him. So you can't have it both ways. You can't defend Enzo Fernandez and say, he's being misused, or the role he's playing right now is very different. So, you know, you can't expect anything amazing from him. And then the other side of your mouth, you're talking about how dare you question Enzo Fernandez's technique? How dare you say he ain't a great player? He's this wonderful player that is a huge talent that we have to get the best out of. What is he? Is he that player, or is he not? Like, that's, and unfortunately, the something we speak about very regularly, you can't fool people that long. And the performances of Enzo Fernandez are not being unfairly jumped on or misconstrued. He's had poor performances. Compare him to another £100 midfielder in Chelsea squad, Moises Caicedo. Caicedo is levels above what Enzo Fernandez is currently producing. So it hasn't stopped Moises Caicedo. If the logic is the price tag, how unfair it is, Caicedo hasn't been impacted by that. Caicedo has got through that and is now showing his quality as a really good midfielder for Chelsea.
I don't dispute that. I agree with you. I think my only contention for Enzo Fernandez, because we've seen what he can do, right? And I know what you're saying about you can't put people that wrong, right? I think there is a lot more to it than what we're seeing. Because obviously we see 90 minutes, 180 if he plays two games in a week, which is extremely unlikely, but 180 minutes in a week where Enzo Fernandez plays football, right? Off the pitch, there's clearly been a lot going on in his life. And I don't envy him for what he's going through. It's tough. He's moved country, he's split up with his partner, he's had injuries, he just maybe just isn't settling. It sounds very similar to another Argentinian player that came to Chelsea with a tremendous reputation in Juan Sebastian Verón, who, you know, maybe hadn't cut it at Man United, but he came to Chelsea because they thought, you know what, new surroundings, new situation. But the reality is, and if you guys have listened to the Blueprint at all, which I highly recommend you go and do, by the way, there was a section where they were talking about the Chelsea squad under Ranieri in the airport on the way to a game, and you'd have players who were sitting and chatting together, but Juan Sebastian Verón was sat in the corner reading Gazzetta dello Sport because he missed Italy. that's where he'd considered home. That's where he was so prominent and so fantastic as a player for Parma, for Lazio. You know, a player which, you know, people had seen in Europe and gone, wow, what a player, what an opportunity. Let's bring him to the Premier League. He's come to the Premier League. He's actually talked about when he was at Chelsea for basically 6 months. He had a severe back injury, which limited how he could play. He wasn't settling. I do think that this is potentially something playing into Enzo Fernandez's life. I don't think him being in England is helping him. I really think he's struggling, which is why, you know, ironically, when I was doing the final score show and was saying similar things, when I was talking to Rambles about it, I was saying I think he'd be really good in Italy or he'd be really good in Spain, because I think the style of football, overarching style of football, should I say, in Spain, Real Madrid, who want to come calling to get him right, would really help him. He speaks the language. The weather's nicer, which, as much as it may not be a big thing for some of us, for players coming from Argentina, from Benfica, from other places, they openly talk about how much of a bloody nightmare it is, right? So you've got that. But then also, I just think, in terms of when I talk the style of league, Enzo Fernandez, I think, struggles with the pace and with the physicality of the Premier League. And I think that's why if you put him in Spain or if you put him in Italy, you would see a very good player. I don't think he's a bad player. I just think he's at the wrong place for him. And every time I say this, and I talk about a lot of players that's happened to Chelsea over the past 12 months, I say I want to see them do it at Chelsea. I'd hate to see them do it elsewhere. I'm not going to lie, if £84 million is put on the table, which, by the way, is a higher Blue Book value than, you know, what we should be getting for him, right? I wouldn't say no. I think it's an intelligent piece of business which Chelsea could take on. More importantly as well, if there isn't that money, because Chelsea needs to find a player to replace him, there's an excellent make weight that is available, which Chelsea have been offered, in Aurelien Tchouameni, who ironically probably fits the style of what we want far better. Do you anything you want to add to that, Dan?
Yeah, no, I think we should have signed. The Tchouameni thing is a massive regret from years ago. We should have signed him when he was still at Monaco. We could have signed him for about £35 million. And for some reason, Chelsea thought that he wasn't ready, he wasn't good enough. And then literally a year later or a year or two later after passing up that opportunity, he signs for Real Madrid. So I think Tchouameni would be a wonderful get. It would kind of feel a bit of redemption and something that Chelsea should have done years ago. Whether that's, listen, again, swap deals, arguably we saw one with kind of Gallagher and Felix happen over the course of last summer. So it's not like we don't see any of them come to fruition. I think just on the case of Fernandez, I struggle to see how it gets much better. That's my concern with him. Because I think that for all the reasons, personal reasons you've already laid out, which I think, you know, you can't, these are human beings, you can't underestimate. I think it's also, I look at his frailties as a player and the things that concern me most about him in the Premier League as a central midfielder. And it's not like those things I think are going to get, his flaws are going to get much better. Like he's 23, 24. He isn't going to get drastically faster as he gets older, is he? The logic is he will get slower as he gets older, and he's already not a fast player off the ball, which is a problem. The hope with Fernandez, I think, was always that if you're going to compare him to recent Chelsea midfielders who are brilliant, was Cesc Fabregas, right? Someone who does have limitations off the ball, but on the ball, creatively, he's such a difference maker that you need to have him in the team because he can do things that no one else can. And I think I agree with you. There were signs of that potential at the very start of his Chelsea career. And I don't know if it's a combination of the chaos that has remained at Chelsea since he signed, where it's a little bit like when we've seen players go to Man United. It feels like the longer they're there, the worse they get. Like, you know, and that's a fear, right? That's a sign of something, maybe cultural. Maybe it's the injury he had for most of last season. Maybe it's the fact that Chelsea have bought more complete, maybe, midfielders, or more suitable ones for the Premier League, who have now surpassed him. So his deficiencies look even worse because there's a comparison right there. Romeo Lavia and Moises Caicedo. He's right next to Moises Caicedo in terms of price, right? So people look at him and go, well, look at Caicedo's output right now. And the fact is, Caicedo creatively is now better than Enzo Fernandez. He is now creating opportunities. So it's not like you can just dismiss Caicedo and go, he only makes tackles. No, he's literally setting up goals for Nicholas Jackson at Anfield. And he's playing passes that Enzo Fernandez was supposed to be in the team. And you get back to that core question of like, well, if I can get that from Caicedo, I'm not getting that consistently from Enzo Fernandez. What's the point? And then you have to factor in that Caicedo's a lot better off the ball. He is can win you tackles, can be a defensive shield, but that isn't going to be the case for Enzo Fernandez. What's the point in having Enzo Fernandez in the team? That's, I think, the calculation that Maresca has made.
Yeah, I can't dispute that. And I mean, it takes a lot of balls to do what Enzo Maresca's done. It really does. Because the fact that he's able to sort of turn round, take the price tag and go, nah, no, I don't really care about that. Undoubtedly, when you got Paul Winstanley and Lawrence Stewart going, I need to play him because he's expensive. Which, by the way, is, I think, a reason politically why Enzo Fernandez maybe isn't being put under as much criticism as others at Chelsea. Because of the price tag, because of the politics that's being played. I do think that there's a real opportunity here for Chelsea, if Real Madrid do come calling, to, as you said, make room in a squad for a player which could actually help and almost is a like for like in what we have in midfield. And you know, people say, well, but Enzo Fernandez can be a difference maker. He can't be, evidently, anymore. I just don't think his head's in the right place. I think he needs a fresh start and he needs something different. It's gutting because I want to see him do it in a Chelsea shirt. I was really excited when he first came. You know, we were talking about, you know, Jorginho earlier where, you know, he was limited. You could see when Enzo Fernandez first came to Chelsea where he'd been so limited for two years, really. Well, more than that. For an extensive period, aside from a six-month stint under Thomas Tuchel in 2021, where Jorginho was absolutely unbelievable, we'd been limited by a lack of physicality, a lack of presence, and a lack of creativity, and a metronome, which realistically, as he's been used correctly at Arsenal, is someone who you bring on to see a game out. You don't spend £105 million on someone to see a game out. So if Chelsea can chalk this up as a loss, learn from that mistake, maybe don't have fisticuffs in a boardroom with the guys at Benfica ever again, then maybe we might see this as an opportunity learnt, which is what I think we've been calling out for a lot with this ownership. And, you know, they have actually started doing it slowly but surely. So, you know, what Enzo Maresca's done here is maybe try and get more out of Enzo Fernandez to try and get him to really kick on. Evidently, that's not going to be the case. So Tchouameni's on the market, take the cash, take the player, run. That solves all our issues, I think. And, you know, I'd be very, very keen to see Tchouameni at Chelsea. And, you know, Enzo Fernandez, look, if it doesn't happen, I wish him nothing but the best. I want him to get better. I want him to improve. I want to see that player which we saw at the beginning at Chelsea. Because right now, whenever he comes on or he's playing, I feel like we're a man short.
Yeah.
And it's something which we need to rectify very quickly. And if he's in that second team, by the way, I mean, if you guys obviously haven't heard the preview yet, and we obviously talk about the Newcastle game in the preview, if the quality of the players in that second team aren't up to scratch to make up for the lack of quality in the player which we've signed to be a main man who isn't delivering on that, then we face even more issues in terms of how we deal with Enzo Fernandez. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. It's going to be an interesting, which me and Dan will definitely be covering consistently over the next probably 3 months, definitely. January is going to be a busy month for both of us. That's going to be fun. Pods galore for you then. But yeah, I mean, that's my thoughts on it. Dan, anything you want to add, or should we wrap it there, mate?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, obviously, we hope that it can turn around for Enzo Fernandez, but I think I'm always a big believer in facing reality. And I think that, you know, he hasn't... I struggle to remember his last good performance with Chelsea. It was... It's quite a long time ago. And players who were brilliant, players who were crucial to your team, that shouldn't be the case. Like, he's never even touched what Cole Palmer is to Chelsea, right? And that's what Chelsea would have hoped Fernandes in central midfield would be. He's not even close to what Caicedo is right now. He's not close to what Jackson is right now to Chelsea. That's the reality. And it's an awkward situation, but it's one the club, I think, are going to have to face unless there's a massive turnaround in Fernandes' form.
Well, I couldn't put it better myself. Guys, let us know your thoughts on the comments. If you're listening on Spotify, if you're listening on Apple, please just keep giving us a little nudge, all that good stuff. Get us involved. Make sure you hit us up on our socials. That's where you're going to be hearing me over the next 2-3 weeks until Elon Musk sorts me out. It is at the Chelsea Echo on Twitter. And of course, at the Chelsea Echo underscore on Instagram. So please do make sure that you come across and have a chat with us there. But yeah, this has been the Chelsea Echo. Give us a cheeky 5-star review. Get yourselves involved. And we will see you guys for the preview tomorrow. Ta-da.